Hey guys, thank you so much for joining us for the NCC podcast. God is doing so many great things in our community, and I trust that He's doing great things in your life as well. And I trust that God is going to speak to you through this message.
Well, today we are going to wrap up our series entitled His Promise, My Part. And next Sunday is going to be our family Christmas Sunday, as you just heard. And Destiny is going to be preaching. It's going to be an awesome, awesome Sunday. So make sure you plan to be here. But today, we are coming to the end of what we have been calling our vision series, or more specifically, our envision series, where we want to envision what is possible for us. We want to envision what is possible for our families, and we want to envision what is possible for us as a church to impact and influence our community. And we've done that through two lenses. We've done this through the lens of the Old Testament, looking at the story of Joshua. And the story of Joshua is the story of God taking His people, the Israelites, from the wilderness and moving them into the promised land. But we've also been looking at the story of Jesus. And the story of Jesus is all about moving us into the promised life. So it's not about the promised land, it's about the promised life. The story of Joshua is how God moved His people into a specific place. But our story, the story of Jesus, now the story of the New Testament, is how God wants to move us to live out this promised life that Jesus referred to in John chapter 10, verse 10, whenever He said this, I came. You could say, I came to this earth. Jesus would say, I came to this earth so that everyone would have life. Say life. And that they would have it in its fullest. That you would have life. That you would have this thing that we call the abundant life. That you would have life that is full and life that is overflowing. And then throughout the series, we've been in 2 Peter chapter 1. We've been looking at this verse every single week. And it says this, by His divine power, God has given us everything. Say everything.
Everything.
By His divine power, God has given us everything we need for living a godly life. That's just saying that God has given you everything you need for living life His way. How did we receive this? We received this by coming to know Him, the one who has called us to Himself by means of His marvelous glory and excellence. And because of His glory and excellence, He has given us great and precious promises. Come on, if you're thankful for those promises, say amen.
Amen.
These are the promises, these great and precious promises that He has given to us. These are the promises that enable you to share in His divine nature and to escape the world's corruption caused by human desires. In view of all this, make every effort, say every effort.
Every effort.
Make every effort to respond to God's promises. In view of all this, make every effort to respond to God's promises. You know, Louisiana in December is a great reminder for us that there are things in life that you just cannot control, mainly the weather. If you walked out Friday going to work and for your company Christmas party and you were dressed in your favorite Christmas sweater, you might have died Friday morning. It was 83 degrees and high humidity. I mean, you would have come out in your little turtleneck and funny Christmas sweater, and you'd have walked out of your house and be like, I mean, you are in danger of a heat stroke. Or if you came out today thinking it was going to be Friday, and you walked out of your house this morning in your t-shirt, I mean, you could have died. You could have frozen to death. If you are not checking the weather every morning in Louisiana, you might die. You gotta know it, things change. But here's the reality is that it really teaches us the principle of life, right? And the principle of life is that there are so many things that we cannot control. But they say that there are two things that we can all control, and that is our attitude and our effort. Our attitude and our effort. And now we have spent the last several weeks kind of zeroing in on this attitude that was in Joshua and Caleb as they led God's people into the promised land, this attitude that we have to have if we are going to move into this promised life. And we have defined attitude as this: it's our settled way of thinking or feeling about someone or something, typically one that is reflected in a person's behavior. But every single one of us in this room, we have an attitude. And the reason we have the attitude is because we have settled into a way of thinking about people, of thinking about God, of thinking about yourself, of thinking about something, your past, your present, your future, your obstacles, and your opportunities. There is a settled way that we think, and there is a settled way that we feel. And we all get to control that attitude. We all get to control that settled way of thinking or feeling, but we also get to control our effort. Let me define effort for you today. Effort is defined as this: a vigorous or determined attempt. The exertion of physical power, the exertion of mental power, the exertion of emotional power. It is the exertion of power. It is a vigorous or determined attempt. So whenever Peter was writing to us and he's saying, hey, make every effort, he's telling us make a vigorous attempt. He's telling us that you are going to have to exert physical, emotional, mental power in this direction if you are going to live the life that God created you to live. Now, here's the truth. The truth is that we control our attitude and our effort, but the truth actually is your attitude is what controls your effort. You control your attitude and effort. It is true. But the reality is that your attitude is actually going to determine your effort, because if you think or feel that something is not possible for you, then why would you exert vigorous effort for it? If you don't think and you don't feel like you can experience something in your future, then why are you going to put forth a vigorous attempt? Why are you going to put forth a determined attempt? Why are you going to exert all of the power in your body for something that you don't even believe is possible for you? So while we say attitude and effort is within your control, the reality is that your attitude is controlling your effort. So when Peter says, you got to make every effort, what we know is this: we have to have our attitude right before the effort gets right. Because if I don't think that I can maintain a healthy lifestyle, why am I going to start going to the gym and eating broccoli? If I don't feel like my marriage can improve, then why am I going to spend hours reading books and going to counseling? If I don't think that I can get promoted on my job, then why am I going to stay late and do extra? If I don't think that my life can change, then why would I work hard for my life to change? Which brings us to the potential tension that lies within this passage in 2 Peter verse 5, when it says, in view of all of this, in view of these precious promises, in view of everything that he talked about, make every effort. You see, the verse says, in view of all this, but this is what it actually implies. It implies because you believe all of this. In view of all this, but what it's really saying is because you believe all of this, because you believe in his divine power. Because you believe that he has given you everything you need for living a godly life, the life that he created you for. Because you believe that the way you access that comes through relationship with him. Because you believe in his glory, who he is, and because you believe in his excellence, what he does, and because you believe in these great and precious promises that he has made to you, and that out of those great and precious promises, you can share in the very nature and character of the holy created God. Because you can share in that. And listen, not just do you get to share in that, but also you can avoid the way of the world, the pattern of the world, the corruption that exists in the world. You get to escape all of that. And he says, because you believe all of that, make every effort, which then lets us know this. If I don't believe all of that, and I don't really think that's possible for me, then I'm not going to make every effort to have this life that Jesus promised I could have. Now, I might make an effort, but I'm not going to make every effort. I might make an effort, why? Just so I can feel better about myself. So I can say, well, I mean, at least I tried. I mean, I'll give it a chance. I'll give it a shot. I'll put 30% effort out there, and then let's just see what happens. But I don't have to tell you this morning that no championship team is going to give 30% effort into a game. I don't have to tell you this morning that there's no successful business owner going to put 40% effort into his company. Her company, it's not going to happen. No healthy marriage puts 50% effort into their relationship. Why? Because if anything is going to prosper and succeed, it will take more than an effort. It will take every effort. It's going to take more than 30%, 40%, 50%. It's going to take 100% effort if it's going to work. And so Peter says this. He says, hey, these are God's promises. Now what you need to do is do everything in your power. You need to make every effort possible to make these promises come to pass in your life. Now here's the thing that we haven't gotten into, because the next few verses, what he begins to do is he begins to give us a little picture of what that looks like. When you make every effort, what does it look like when you actually make this effort? This is what he says. He says, in view of all of this, make every effort to respond to God's promises. Supplement your faith, which means, okay, that's great. You have faith. You believe in God. You believe in the sacrifice of Jesus on the cross. You believe in the resurrection. You believe that you're going to heaven because you put your faith, hope, and trust in him. Awesome. Okay, now there's some things that you need to supplement. You need to add to your faith. And this is what he says, supplement your faith with a generous provision of moral excellence. And on top of moral excellence, get some knowledge. And don't just settle for knowledge, you also need self-control. And after you get self-control, then make sure you get some patient endurance. And once you get that patient endurance, don't stop there, keep going, because now you need some godliness. And with godliness, you need brotherly affection. And with brotherly affection, you need love for everyone. So he says, this is what it looks like when you make every effort. This is the end result of the person who says, I'm going to take the promises of God. It's his promise, but now I'm going to do my part to live into his promises. So this is what it really looks like. You say, okay, we just read those verses, but you say, okay, but what does that really look like? Moral excellence and godliness, what do these things look like? So basically what I'm going to do for you right now is I'm going to describe for you in maybe, you know, layman's terms, we could say. I mean, this would be like if you took the Message version of the Bible, the Amplified version of the Bible, and the PDV version. That's the Philip D's version. Okay, and you combine them all together. You say, what is it really saying? Let me just read this to you. This is what the person looks like. This person that makes every effort. This person is full of faith and makes a lot of wise choices when it comes to their personal character and integrity. They don't just make decisions between what's good and bad, but between what's good and best. This person is hungry for knowledge, a real learner. They are a reader, a listener, and they apply what they have learned. This person leads themselves well by controlling their desires, emotions, words, and actions. They manage their mindset, realizing that their life moves in the direction of their most dominant thoughts. This person is incredibly patient, but not passive. They actively wait with tremendous expectation. They endure setbacks, disappointments, and adversity without losing hope. And they persevere through the tough days, knowing that the best is yet to come. This person is godly, not perfect, but continually improving as they live life God's way, trying to honor him at all times and doing their best to bring heaven to earth every single day. This person loves other people the way that God has loved them. They don't criticize, mock, or judge. Instead, they give mercy and grace to everyone around them. Now, who would like to be that person described right there in 2 Peter chapter 1? Okay, if you're not sitting by somebody with their hand raised right now, walk away. Unless you're married to them, okay? Unless you're married to them, don't walk away. Have a conversation afterwards. Okay, because every one of us should have lifted our hands and said, that's who I want to be. I want to be that person. I want to be that person that lives life that way. That's who I want to be. And here's the good news, is God's already made that possible. You say, oh, Phil, that sounds amazing. That's who I want to be. Yeah, me. Fantastic. The best news of your 2021. If that's what you want, God has already made it possible. Now it's just up to two things, your attitude and your effort. Every single person in this room has the potential to be what I just read because God, in his grace and in his power, has made it possible. What would have never been possible for us on our own, in our own strength and with our own wisdom, God made possible by putting his spirit on the inside of us and making a promise that we could move into it. He has already paved the path for us to live this life. Now the only thing that determines whether I move into this is my attitude and my effort. Stephen Covey, the author of Seven Habits of Highly Effective People, he says that habit number two is this: to begin with the end in mind. To begin with the end in mind. He only had seven habits, and I think we probably need to listen to him. He sold 26 million copies of this book, right? That's like every person in Louisiana buying like five copies, okay? That's a lot of copies. He sold a lot of books. And this is what he says. He says that we should all, if we want to be successful, if we want to prosper, if we want to be our best, which we should all be aspiring to be for God's glory and for his purpose, if that's what we want to be, then you need to start with the end in mind. You need to begin with the end in mind. And in the chapter, Covey actually says that you need to go all the way to the end of your life and you need to envision your funeral. He says you need to go all the way to the end. And there you are laying in the casket, and he says that you need to know who's attending. Who's there? How many people are there? What are they saying about you? How are the people in the room responding to what is being said? He says, you need to go all the way to the end. You need to begin with the end in mind. But for our purposes today, I want to look at this concept of beginning with the end in mind in regards to how it plays out into what we've been looking at throughout the series in our transformation process. Our transformation process of believing to being, to behaving, to building. And this is what I've been saying throughout this entire process, that everything starts with believing. And while that is very accurate for the process of transformation, there is actually a step that comes before the process. It's the step that we haven't talked about up until now. And it is this: starting with the end in mind is, what am I building? The transformation process in your life starts with what you are believing. That's how you transform your life. We've been talking about the destruction process as well, right? So that God wants to use the transformation process. The enemy wants to use the destruction process, and they're the exact same because the enemy wants you to believe the wrong things and get you headed in the wrong direction. But when God wants to transform your life, he says, okay, you need to begin to believe the right things about me, the right things about yourself, the right things about those people around you, the right things about your future. You got to start believing the right things. That's when we get into thoughts. That's our attitude. So everything comes out of our beliefs. Our attitude is going to come out of our beliefs. But you see, I want you to see this. The transformation process starts with believing, but the step before you begin the process starts with a question: what am I trying to build? What do I want to build in my home? What do I want to build in my marriage? What do I want to build in my future life? What do I want to build? Hear me this morning. The only life you can build is the life you can envision. The only life you can build is the life you envision. So the only way to build the promised life is to envision yourself building that life. It's the only way. This is why we started this series with this statement in the first sentence here they're throwing on the screen, is that the promises of God should give us a vision for what's possible with God. Right? That's what we've been saying. The promises of God. God makes these promises to you for what? So that you could see what's possible with him. Whoa, you're telling me that God can do that? That God can make me more than a conqueror? That God can make me an overcomer? You're telling me that God can actually do these great impressions? That God can give me his divine nature? That I can be like God, having the character? Yeah, are you telling me that I can avoid? Yes, these are the promises of God. They ought to show you what's possible. But then I add the next sentence, and it says this: then it should create a mental picture of the life we will build. See, it shows us what's possible, but don't stop with just, wow, that's possible. The promises of God open our eyes to what's possible, but they should do more than open your eyes to what's possible. They should set your eyes on the life that you want to build. This is the life that I want. And you begin to envision yourself living the life that God created you to live. And I want to tie this back into Joshua, because as we've been going through the series, we've been talking about the process of Joshua. And I want you to see right at the very beginning, we go all the way back to Joshua chapter 1, that this is what God comes in and says. He says, I promise you that what I promised Moses, wherever you set foot, you will be on land I have given you. Now watch what God does. He says, from the Negev wilderness in the south to the Lebanon mountains in the north, from the Euphrates River in the east to the Mediterranean Sea in the west, including all the land of the Hittites, no one will be able to stand against you as long as you live, for I will be with you as I was with Moses. I will not fail you or abandon you. What was God doing? God was allowing Joshua to envision the promised land. He said, it goes all the way to this place in the north. It's going to go all the way to this place in the south. It's going to go all the way to this place in the east. It's going to go all the way over here in the west. And Joshua's like, what? All of that? Whew, man, he says, wherever you put your foot over there, it's going to be land I've given you. He's allowing Joshua to envision the magnitude of the promised land. And that's exactly what God wants to do for you when it comes to the promised life. So Jesus comes, he says in John 10:10, I've come that you might have life. I've come that you might have it to the full in abundance until it overflows. He comes in 2 Peter, and the Holy Spirit is enabling Peter to write these words. And he's writing these truths to us. And he says, man, God has given you great and precious promises, and you need to know that he wants you to share in his divine nature, and he wants you to escape the corruption of the world, and he's made all of that possible. And what is he trying to do through all of that? He's trying to expand your vision of what you see as possible in your future, the same way he did for Joshua. Wow, you're telling me all of that can be mine? That I can really live in victory? That I don't have to carry these regrets and resentment and bitterness? You're trying to tell me that I can be empowered and equipped and moving? Is this really real right now? Yes, it's what God's doing. He's trying to expand your vision of what's possible. And it doesn't just happen in John chapter 10. And it doesn't just happen in 2 Peter chapter 1. Listen to me. The whole Bible speaks to what God can make possible. The whole Bible speaks to his promises, to his goodness, to his power, to the life that he wants you to live. He wants you to live the abundant life. He wants you to live a life that is full, a life that is fruitful, a life that is overflowing. He wants you to live a life that is filled with his best for you. Why? Because Jesus came and declared, hey, John, this is the reason I came. Hey, Sarah, this is the reason that I came. Hey, Timothy, this is the reason that I came, so that you would be able to live this life that God created you to live.
And friends, listen to me. That life is possible for you. That life is possible for you. But what do you have to do? You first have to envision it. You have to envision yourself living the life that God told you was possible. You have to start with the end in mind, and you look and you say, wow, that is the life that I want to live. I want to live the life that Jesus. It doesn't matter where you are today, friends. It doesn't matter what habits you find yourself in. It doesn't matter what struggles you find yourself in. Listen, you can envision what God has in your future. And then after you envision it, guess what? Then what you start doing, you start believing it. I start with the end in mind. I envision. Now what I do, I start to believe that it's possible for me. I start to believe that if God said it was possible, it's possible. If God did it for all these other people, God can do it for me. I start living. This is the life of faith. This is what we're really talking about, this belief. It's faith. This is where faith really begins to kick in, and you start really believing. And now what I start doing, I start thinking about me living this life. This is where I get into attitude. I start thinking towards it. Now I don't just believe it's possible, and I don't just believe I can. Now I start thinking every day I'm moving towards it. I start feeling myself moving into this place that God has created me to be. And then that takes us to what? It takes us, as we begin moving forward, it takes us into what? It takes us into every effort that's going to make it possible. And that's why I am so fired up about 2022. I'm telling you right now, you might be thinking, why this guy's really fired up today? You don't know how far I cranked this thing down today. Because I am so excited, not just what about God's going to do in our church in 2022, which is going to be awesome. I'm excited about what God's going to do in your heart in 2022. I'm excited about what God's going to do in your life in 2022. I'm excited what God's going to do in your business. I'm excited about what God's going to do in your family. I'm excited about what God's going to do in your marriage. I'm excited about what God is going to do when we fix our eyes on his promises and we say, you know what? I'm going to make every effort. I'm not making an effort. I'm not giving 20%. I'm not giving 40%. I'm not giving 80%. I'm going to give 100% of my effort to make that come to pass, because if God said it, that means I can have it, and I'm going to move into it. And that's why for 2022, our word of the year is advance, because we are moving into everything that God has in store for us. We are not retreating. We are not stagnant. We are not settling, but we are moving full of faith into the promise that God told us we could have. And if you believe that, you need to put your hands together right now and thank God for it. All right, let me wrap this up for us today. As we move into this year of advance, and listen, we're going to be kicking off the year with an advanced series. We're going to be talking about this in more detail, but the definition that we are using for advance is this. It's to move forward in a purposeful way. To move forward in a purposeful way. To move forward with purpose. It means to make progress. So when I tell you 2022, our word is advanced, I want you to know, and I want you to feel, and I want you to think you're going to begin to move forward in a purposeful way, that you are going to make progress like never before in your life. The enemy has tried to convince every single one of us at some point in our life, whether it was through disappointment, loss, betrayal, poor decisions, the COVID pandemic, he's tried to convince us to just settle for what we had, to settle for who we were, to settle for where we are. But friends, let me tell you, the devil is a liar. The devil is a liar. And it is time for each and every one of us to advance into the promises that God has in store for us and for our future. And we started this whole series off by saying, we can, we will, we must, I can, I will, I must, listen, friends, I can, I will, I must advance into the promises of God. It's been too long in the wilderness. It's been too long in my excuses. It's been too long in my blame and in my shame and in my regrets. It's been too long. It's time for me to step out of my wilderness, and it's time for me to move into the life that God has promised me that I could have.
Jeremiah 29:11 is what God says to you. He says, for I know the plans I have for you. Come on, do you believe that today? You believe that God really has a plan for your life? Do you just think maybe you're just existing here? You're just kind of figuring out, trying to make it? Are you just hoping that maybe one day you could sneak in the back door of heaven, that you know they're not going to know that you snuck in? You know, is that how you feel? Or do you really feel like God has a plan for you right now, here and today, on this earth? God says, I have a plan for you. You need to begin to believe that. He says, in that plan is to prosper you. The plan is not to harm you. The plan is not to tell you everything that's wrong with you, tell you how dysfunctional you are, tell you about all the ways that you've missed it and how what you should have done and who you could have been and all those things. No. God says, I've got a plan for you, and my plan is to prosper you. Prosper, that means a successful, thriving, and flourishing condition. That's what God has for you. He says, I want to put you in a successful, thriving, and flourishing condition in your life. That's the plan that I have for you. I don't have the plan to harm you. I don't have the plan to tell you about what you can't have. I have a plan to tell you what you can have, and then push you into every bit of that. So I have plans to prosper you, not to harm you. I have plans to give you a hope and a future. Do you know when your future starts? Your future starts right now. Don't tell me about what your past looks like. Well, you don't know what I did. You don't know where I've been. You don't know all what I've done. You don't know all the things. It doesn't matter. God says, I've came to give you a future. He didn't say I came to do anything about your past. That's gone. All he's going to do about that is forgive it and wipe it off of your record. He says, but I did come to give you a future. That's what he came for. But you got to envision that future. You got to envision that promise. The same way that God spoke to Joshua and he said, it's going to be all the way down here in the south, all the way up there in the north. It's going to be all the way over there in the east, all the way. Wow, I got a picture for the greatness of what God wants to give me. Wow, I've got such a clear picture. This is possible. It's what God wants to do for you in 2022 when it comes to your life. You envision this life that is possible for you and for your family. You know, throw the transformation process up here. I want to wrap up with this. Here's what happens too many times in this process. Too many people allow their behaving to influence their believing. So whenever you hear a message like this about what's possible in 2022, we begin to negate that possibility. Why? Because we say my behaviors right now aren't in alignment with that. I mean, Philip, I'm doing things and saying things and going places. I mean, that's great for everybody else in this room, Philip. That's great for them. The promises of God, the abundant life. But if you knew what I was doing and what I was saying and who I was and the thoughts that I have, if you knew all of those things, Philip, if you knew who I really was, and what you are doing is you're allowing your behaving to talk you out of what you could be believing. That's what happens. It's what happens it's the ploy of the enemy. It's not like some secret thing that the enemy's doing to you. It's what God does to every, I mean, it's what the enemy does to every single one of us. But listen, friends, your believing should never be limited by what you are currently seeing. Your believing should never be limited by what you are currently seeing. Instead, your believing should eventually change what you are seeing based off of what you saw was possible. So I'm not letting my behaving influence my believing. You could be involved in all kinds of crazy stuff right now.
You can be involved with all kinds of mess. Don't let your behaving influence your believing, because if you do, it'll stop you from building the life that's possible. You got to go all the way back and say, man, I know my behaviors aren't there, but that's all right. I'm going to choose to believe 2022. I'm going to choose to believe. I'm going to get a vision for what is possible. I'm going to get a vision. You know what? If somebody else made it out of addiction, I can make it out of addiction. If somebody else made it out of this, then I can. I've got a vision for it. I'm going to envision myself moving forward. And then what you begin to do is, based on what you saw was possible, your believing starts begin to change what you're seeing in your life. And then you roll into 2027 a few years later and you say, oh my God, I can't even believe that I'm here. How did I get here? And you got there because you decided to believe what God said in 2022. He said, I control my attitude, what I'm thinking and feeling. That attitude is going to control me making every effort, and I'm going to make every single effort to have what God says I could have despite my current circumstances. Don't let your behavior talk you out of what you believe. Let your believing eventually change your behaving. It'll happen. It'll happen. But it's the process of transformation. We'll advance. In 2022, we're going to advance. We're going to advance. You're going to advance personally, but listen, we're going to advance as a community. Right before I give you the lead, I'm going to throw these three real quick at you. This is where we're advancing in 2022. The first thing that we're advancing in is we're advancing into intentional generosity. Why? Because there's too many needs in our city. Over 50,000 meals that we were able to give to hungry kids this year. We're going to give more in 2022. We've adopted 7 schools, Title I schools in our city. We're adopting more schools in 2022, which means what? We're giving more uniforms than we've ever given away to kids in school in 2022. We're going to do more. We're going to do more. How does that happen? Intentional generosity. Intentional generosity. We're making the decision to say, you know what? I'm making every effort in 22. You know what? I'm going to put God first. I've never done that before. I've kind of just given to the church at the end of the month. And if it was a good month and we had some extra, man, I gave to the church. I love giving to the church, but I've never given at the first of the month. That's what I want to do. I want to put God first. I've never given consistently. And maybe you're like, oh man, there's no way. I can't start it like a tithe, 10%. There's no way. But you know what? Maybe you could start $200 a month. You could start there. Being intentional in your generosity. We're going to be intentional. Not just giving when we can or when we feel like it. No, we're going to be intentionally generous. We're going to put God first in our finances. We're going to be intentional about our discipleship in 2022. We're going to be intentional about discipleship. There's some things that we're going to be laying out for you in January. We are creating discipleship moments for you on Wednesday nights and for some Saturdays sprinkled throughout the year. It's just a time for you to say, that's what I want. I'm going to make every effort. That's what I want. I'm going to make every effort. You know, making every effort, it's like showing up after you've worked all day on Wednesday because you want to grow. That's what it means to make every effort. It's like showing up to learn and grow when I'm tired. That's what it means to make a, I'm not doing 30% anymore. 30% didn't give me the life that I wanted. So I'm going to make every effort in 2022. Intentional discipleship. And lastly, do intentional hospitality. What are we doing? We are creating space for conversation. We are creating space for people to get together around a table, to have conversation. Because you know what conversation leads to? Conversation leads to salvation. What conversation leads to. You just read your Bible. Just read the Gospels. Jesus led people to salvation, not preaching on a pulpit. He led them to salvation around a dinner table. So what are we doing? We're going to make space for that. Do intentional hospitality in 2022. We're going to get intentional about our generosity. We're going to get intentional about our discipleship. And we're going to get intentional about our hospitality. And this is what I believe. If we do that, then we are going to see our personal lives and North Point Community Church advance into everything that God has for us. I can't wait to see where it goes. I can't wait to see what God does. Because we're going to move forward in a purposeful way. And we're going to make progress like never before. Let's wrap up today with our lead acrostic. We do this every Sunday.
here at North Point, because 2021 is our year of application. So this is what we're doing. We're saying, what are we learning? What are we evaluating? What are we applying? And then are we doing it again? Come on, our learn today, our takeaway of the day is that 2022 is our year of advance. It's our year of advance. Our evaluation is this. Will you give the effort it takes to move forward in a purposeful way towards what you believe is possible in 2022? Simple. Will you make every effort? You say, I don't know what that is. That's okay. It starts with attitude. Starts with attitude saying, I don't know what that is, but yes. Yes, I will make every effort. I'm going 100% in to what God said was possible. Will you make every effort for the life that God says is possible? The application is this. Envision it. Believe it. Think it. Move towards it. That's the application. Envision it. You know what you need to begin to do from now until 2022? Man, you need to begin to envision, what does that life look like? How far south? How far north? How far east? How far west? What does that look like for you and for your family? Wow. Begin to think about it. Not just that it's possible, not just that it's out there. Begin to think about yourself living in it. Begin to move towards it. And then the D is just keep doing it again. Because you never stop advancing. You never stop moving forward. I hope at the last breath that you take on this planet, you're still charging straight ahead. That you're still moving into everything that God has for you while you're here.
Thank you for listening. To hear more messages like this one, make sure to subscribe and share our podcast. For more content from NCC and how to get connected, visit ncc.team.